The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Pei. We will begin from the Mishnah on the top of daf Pei, Amud Aleph. More of the same theme, which is if somebody buys or sells something without being particularly clear about what's included or excluded from the sale, what is included and what is in fact excluded from the sale. So to Mishnah. Halekeach Pei Reshoivach, if somebody buys the offspring from his friend's shoivach. So Reuven owned the shoivach. Yoinim, doves, lived inside the shoivach, this dove coat, that's where the birds live. And now Shimon is going to buy from Reuven the peiros, the doves, the birds that are produced from this shoivach. So the halacha is that although it would seem at first glance that Shimon should be entitled to all the baby birds that are born, the halacha in fact is that he doesn't get everything. Rather, mafriach bichur yishayna. He has to take the first set of baby birds that are born in this shoivach, and he has to give it to the moicher. The moicher gets to keep that. Now, just by way of background, it's good to see the first Rashbam inside. Zok to Rashbam. Kigayin she'omale ben Yisan, mechorli peiros shana zu, mashe yaldu b'chol chaytash. Shimon goes over to Reuven, and he tells him, mechaytash Nisan, I want you to sell to me all the peiros, all the offspring of this shoivach for the entire year. Avali mois leikana. He only bought the offspring, meaning he didn't buy the mother's birds inside this shoivach. V'derech ha-yoinim, the metzias of the yoinah is lasei shnei vladis b'chol chaytash. Every yoinah gives birth to two children every month, Zachar and Nekeva, Chutz Mechedesh Adar, with the exception of Chedesh Adar, She'en Yalten. So essentially, each Yoina gives birth to baby birds 11 out of the 12 months a year, every month except for Chedesh Adar. V'hanu Vlades Gam Heim L'Soif Beis Chadashim Oysen Vlades. And these children that are born, they start having their own children after they're already 2 months old, so now there's already 8 o'clock, B'chol Chedesh, V'chol Shnei Vlades Kriyim Brecha. The Taich of a Brecha is every peer of Zachar and Akeva that's born. Either way, so says the Mishnah, so if somebody now buys the offspring, again, you're not buying the Shoivach, and you're not buying the mothers in the Shoivach. All you're buying is the offspring of the Shoivach. So the halacha is, you don't get to keep all the offspring, but rather the babies that are born during the first month, again, there are babies born 11 out of the 12 months of the year. So the first of those 11 months, that's the bricha, that zachar and akeva, that the moicher gets to keep. And the svara behind it, which the Gemara is going to explain in more detail, but just high level, the svara of the Mishnah is that being that this person didn't sell the shoivach, he only sold the offspring that comes from the shoivach, so obviously he wants to keep the shoivach intact. The Gemara is going to explain why the only way he can keep the Shevach intact is if he maintains this Bricha Rishayna. But if he doesn't have the Bricha Rishayna, the entire Shevach is going to deplete, and that clearly wasn't his intention. If his intention was to deplete the Shevach, he would have sold the Shevach. He didn't even sell the Imahis, so he only sold the Vladis, and it's for that reason we have to make sure that he maintains the Bricha Rishayna. A similar halacha, Peiros Kiveres, if somebody buys the Peiros, the fruit, the offspring of a beehive, Noitel Gimel Nechilim, so this person bought the peiros of a beehive, which the Rashbam explains, based on the Gemara, means not the dvash, not the honey that the bees in the beehive produce, but rather he bought the bees that themselves will be produced in this beehive. So you have the queen bee. The queen bee gives birth to baby bees. The baby bees is what this person bought. So the halacha is he doesn't get to keep all the babies. Rather, noitel gimel nechilim, he gets three nechilim, umesaris. So the Gemara is going to explain what mesaris means. But what is gimel nechilim? So again, for that, it's kedai to see the Rashban, dibur amaskel, noitel gimel nechilim. Says the Rashban, gimel chaburois, the person, the buyer, gets to keep three chaburois, hanoldois rishayna, begimel zmanin, that are born during the first three zmanim, mites yamim or yud yamim, ze achar ze, which happens in 9 to 10 day intervals. And the Rashbam goes on to explain. Shekein derech hakiveres, the derech of a beehive is, betchilas imais hakayetz, in the beginning of the summer months, yoytzi minan kiveres nechil shol devayrim, yuladoi sheyoldu imais. There's a swarm of bees that were born to the queen bee. They leave the beehive, v'yoytzvel ananaf ilan, they go and they settle on a branch, maybe kiveres chadash, and eventually the bees on that branch end up turning into a new beehive. And 9 to 10 days later, this repeats itself. Again, a swarm of bees goes from the original beehive, they settle on a branch, umevi kiveres acheres, and that becomes another beehive. V'chein ha-shlishi, it happens a third time. V'kairin le-tirtzel, v'yesha oisen ha-zayin v'ches palmim, b'malchus yavam. The Rashbam says that in Greece, he's seeing where it happens sometimes 7 to 8 times a season. One beehive can produce another beehive. U'b'malchuzu, the Rashbam says, where he lived, ruban oisen gimel palmim, for the most part, it happened 3 times. V'ashlishi garua mikulam, the third is the worst. Da'achrin achrin garua, the later the beehive that's produced, that tends to be the weakest. Bottom line is, Hilkach Dai Begimel Nechilim Rishonim Sheikh Hashufim. So again, when a person buys the bees that are produced from a beehive, so essentially he's going to get all these different swarms, these new beehives that are going to be produced from the original beehive. But he doesn't get all of them. He only gets the first three. After 3, they stop becoming Shvachar. Anyway, says the Rashbam, that's what he's going to end up getting. After that, Umesaris. What does Mesaris mean? So we'll see that in the Gemara. Chalis Devash, if somebody buys honeycombs, Manias Beis Chalis. He doesn't get to keep all the honeycomb in the beehive, he has to leave 2 behind. So the honeycomb is where the bees would make their honey. They would spend the entire season producing honey. Eventually, the owner would go and take the honeycomb out and have the honey that was produced. So the someone that sells the honeycomb in a beehive, he didn't sell all of them. He's maniach beis chalois. And then finally, zeisim lakutz. If somebody sells the wood of his zayis tree, maniach shtei grupiois, he gets to keep 2 branches for himself. And pshat in this, again, the halachas of the Mishnah is because in these cases, he's clearly selling the peiros. He's not selling the underlying asset. Being that he's not selling the underlying asset, he has to leave something behind for him to keep the underlying asset intact. So if you would give away all the wood of the zeisim, you wouldn't even leave 2 branches, there'd be no zayis tree anymore. You didn't sell the zayis tree. You obviously want there to be a zayis tree. Thus, something, at the very least, will have to be left over. So the Gemara is now going to explain each halacha in the Mishnah. The first halacha was halakech peiros shevach. If somebody buys the peiros of a shevach, so he's going to buy the baby birds that are produced in the shevach. Mafriach bricha rishayna. The halacha is he has to leave the bricha rishayna. What was the bricha rishayna? Each one of these birds would give birth to a zachar and a keva once a month, with the exception of Chodesh Adar, 11 out of the 12 months of the year. The bricha rishayna, that's the first zachar and a keva that's born to the mother that the seller gets to keep. Frank the Gemara, is that true? It's only the bricha rishayna v'tanya we learned in a braisa. Bricha rishayna v'shniya. It's the first bricha and the second bricha. So it's not just one pair of birds, but it's really 2 pairs of birds. Rav Kana said lekasha hala hala ima. No, what the braisa means to say is it's the bricha rishayna to the mother, and then it's the bricha rishayna to the child. As Rashbam said, that after 2 months, the children themselves start having children. So you have to leave over a bricha rishayna for the children as well. So eventually, essentially, it's going to be 2 brichas. There's going to be a bricha rishayna of the mother and a bricha rishayna of the blood. But it's not 2 brichas of the mother. Thus, it doesn't contradict the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, alekech peirush shevach mechaveh mafrich bicha rishayna, it means to the mother. The Braisa is discussing not only the mother, the Braisa is adding, it's discussing the child as well. Oh, for the child, you have the same halacha. There's a bricha rishayna that has to be left over for the child as well. But frek the Gemara, I don't understand this halacha. Maishno ima, what's pshat in this halacha of mafrich bricha rishayna? It's pashat, says the Gemara. The yisoid is, because if you're going to take all the children away from the mother, the mother is going to have no incentive to stay in the shevach. And if the mother doesn't stay in the shevach is going to be depleted. And that's not what this person intended. This person wanted to keep his shevach. He didn't want it to deplete. Because if he wanted it depleted, he would have sold the shevach. So in order to ensure that the moicher has his shevach, despite the fact that he sold the peiros of his shevach, we have to make sure the mother is going to stay. The way to keep a mother in place is by having her children there. If her children are there, she's not going to go anywhere. So you give her a bricha rishayna, that in itself is going to be enough, says the Gemara. And the truth is, she has not only her children, she has her husband, so to speak, as well. So says the Gemara, Maishna ima, why do we say that the halacha is leave over bricha rishayna and that will get the job done, you'll leave the mother there? The mitstavsa abarta vazuga, because as long as she has one bricha, she'll have her child, the zachar and the keva, plus she'll have her zug, her significant other. So memela, she's not going anywhere. So what's pshat in the braisa? Why does the braisa say that just like you leave over a bricha rishayna for the mother, you have to leave over a bricha rishayna for the vlad? And the stum of the svara is because you need to incentivize the vlad to stay. The vlad will stay. The vlad has her mother and her zug, her significant other. Meaning just like the mother is going to stay because the mother has companionship between her zug and her child, shouldn't we say that the child has companionship between her zug and her mother? And the Gemara says, no, it doesn't necessarily work that way. Ima abarta mitstafsa, barta ima loy mitstafsa. A mother will not abandon her child, but a child may abandon her mother. So it's true that if you want to keep the mother there, you give her a child. But it's not true that if you want to keep a child there, you give her her mother. Thus, in order to make sure that the child doesn't leave, the child itself has to have a child. Again, the idea, the objective here is to try to keep the shaivach in place. The way we're keeping the shaivach in place is by assuring that the mother is going to stay in place. How do we assure that the mother is going to stay in place? By telling the mother that the child should be there. The problem is, what if the child leaves? The child isn't incentivized to stay because of the mother. We tell the child's child to be there as well. You leave over a bricha rishayna and what the Braisa calls a bricha shnia, which is essentially the bricha rishayna of the Vlad. Now you have three doiras, the chuta mesholish, lebemeri yinasek. Now we don't have to be worried. Now we're comfortable that all the birds, they're all going to stay in the shayvach, so that the meicher, despite the fact that he sold the peiros, but at the end of the day, the underlying shayvach is going to be in place. The Mishnah continued, the second halacha, a similar halacha, was that if somebody sells the peiros of a beehive, the buyer doesn't get all the bees that are produced. He gets the first three swarms. Those are the most festa swarms, the gimel nechilim. And then afterwards, umesare, says the Gemara. But my misarson, and the Gemara understands, misaris is miloshin castrating. We sterilize the bees. It sounds like we get the bees to stop producing children. How exactly do you do that? Amr Rabbi Yudah Mashmuel Becharimu. You do it with mustard. Mustard gets the bees to stop having children. Amr Rabbi Marova, Mishmeid Rabbi Yisrael B'chanino. They said, Amr Rabbi Yisrael B'chanino, Loi Charadu Mesarsa. Don't take this literally. There's nothing scientific about mustard causing bees to stop having children. What happens is the mustard makes the taste, the mouth of the bee become bitter. And because it's bitter, it goes and eats honey. And when the bees eat honey, it becomes fat, it becomes satisfied. And once it's satisfied, it doesn't have a cheshik v'peri v'rivyo, the male stops having children. So it's not so much that the chardal scientifically gets the bees to stop procreating, but in some indirect fashion, it's able to cause it. Either way, that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah says, noitel gimel achilim, and afterwards, the owner has a right to be mesareis, meaning he can make sure that it's not going to give up, have any children anymore. At that point, the children's anyway is not going to the lekech. At that point, the children, the offspring, are going to belong to the meicher. So if he wants to be mesaris, the bees at that point, he has a right to be mesaris, the bees at that point. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechonah, my Rabbi Yechonah said, that's not pshat in the Mishnah. He said, Damiram made a tois. Damiram thought that when the Mishnah says that if somebody sells the peiros, the bees of a beehive, the buyer gets three swarms, and afterwards, mesaris, doesn't mean that the seller has a right to sterilize the bees. It means something completely different. It's a beer in the gimel nechilim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, noitel shloisha nechilim besirus. Besirus means in intervals, every other one. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, that you get three swarms, but not three in succession. You get the first, the third, and the fifth. Umesares is a commentary on the Gimel Nechilim. What does it mean, three? Not three in succession, but three every other one. Masnis Tana, the Brice had the same pshat umesares, albeit a different halacha. Noitel Gimel Nechilim b'zeachazeh. You get three b'zeachazeh. Mikan ve'elach, noitel achas, umeniach achas. So the Brice also had this idea that the buyer that's going to get the Nechilim is going to get a besirus. He's going to get every other one. But whereas Rabbi Yochanan understood the three that he gets, he's capped at three, and those three he gets besirus. He gets one, three, and five. In this Brice, they had it that he gets the first three, batuach, and that it's bezeach hazeh, that's not besirus. After that, he'll get more Nechilim, the additional Nechilim that he's going to get, that he's going to get b'sirus. Either way, the third halacha in the Mishnah was chalis dvash. If somebody buys honeycombs, meniach beis chalis, he has to leave over two honeycombs. And this gemara is already a little bit more of a lamdasha gemara. Amar afkan dvash bekiveres ene yoytze midei meichel oil. If somebody has a honeycomb, there's honey in the honeycomb is considered meichel. Ene yoytze midei meichel oil. L'may nafkemina tumas oichlin. Oichel's mekabel tuma. A lot of other metallic are not makabel toma. If somebody has honey in a honeycomb, we view it as food, even though there are times where The bees are going to eat this honey. It doesn't matter. It doesn't need a machshava. It's naturally even in the honeycomb, in its natural state, without any proactive machshava from the standpoint of the owner. It's deemed to be oichol. It's mekabel tumas oichlin. Freik the Gemara Meisei. I'll ask your kasha. Dvash bekiveres abraisa einoy loy oichol loy mashka. It's a mefurish abraisa. Kind of can't go connected abraisa. Again, the abraisa says if there's honey in a beehive, it's not oichol and it's not mashka. Rabbi said a beautiful pshat based on our Mishnah. And our Mishnah was mavur that if somebody sells honeycomb, he leaves over two honeycombs. Now what's the pshat? So we didn't explain this in the Mishnah. The pshat is because this person, again, he meant to sell only honeycomb. He didn't sell the beehive. If he meant to sell the beehive, he would have sold the beehive. Probably would have gotten more money for it. He didn't sell the beehive. In order for him to keep the beehive, he needs bees. In order for there to be bees, they need to eat. In order for them to eat, there has to be honey. In order for there to be honey, there has to be a honeycomb. So that in order for this person to maintain the beehive, he has to make sure there's honeycomb. It's for that reason that we say two chalas. Zwei chalas, lecha mishnah. There are two chalas, two honeycombs that get kept inside this beehive. That will assure that the bees will stay there because like this, they'll have food. That's the only way for them to assure that the beehive will remain intact. So the two chalas that are going to end up being Michael Devoir, and that's what the Brisa meant when it said Dvash Bikiveris in Oloy Oichovale Mashka. Rav Kahana that said Dvash Bikiveris in Yoitzim de Michael Oilom. He's not contradicting the Brisa because he's not talking about those two chal. Those two chalas are miyuchad. They're designated for the Devoirim. Oh, they're designated for the Devoirim. Fashtetzach, it's not Michael Adam. However, regular Dvash Bekiveris, that's not those two chalois, that is Michael Adam. Thus, Rav Kahana, who said Dvash Bekiveris, any Yoitzimidei Michael, is not a stira to the Brisa that says Dvash Bekiveris, any lo Yoichavalei Mashka. The Brisa is talking about the two chalois. Rav Kahana was talking about everything else. Rav said a different text. So, Rav Eliezer, he said Rav Eliezer here, that the Tano of that Brisa is in fact Rav Eliezer. Meaning, you're right, Rav Kahana is going connected to Brisa. But he wasn't impressed because he held the Brisa was a Das Yochid, not only any Yochid, Rav Eliezer, who Shamuti, we don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer. Thus, it's not a problem if he's not connected to Rabbi Eliezer. Who's this Rabbi Eliezer? So this is a Rabbi Eliezer that we actually had in the daf together rather recently. Time we learned in the Mishnah, Kiveres Devoirin, a beehive. Rabbi Eliezer, says, Areka Karka. It's treated like Karka. And even though the beehive isn't necessarily attached to the ground, in Halacha we treat it as Karka. The Rashbam explained this earlier. In the Masechta, it means that it's nickness in the same way Karka's nickness. So Karka's nickness, Bekesef Shtar B'Chazaka, a beehive, even though it's metaltlin, is also nickness, Bekesef Shtar B'Chazaka. Because from a prusbel, additionally, you can write a prusbel. The only time you can write a prusbel is if the loiva has Karka. If the loiva doesn't have Karka, there's no prusbel. Says Rabbi Eliezer, a beehive is considered karka. So if the loiva has a beehive, he owns a beehive, even though he doesn't own property, he gets a prosbul. Ve'ina mekabelas tuma bim koima. Additionally, it's considered karka, and that it's not mekabel tuma. Karka, anything mechubel karka, is never mekabel tuma. This isn't mekabel tuma either. And finally, the biggest chiddush, v'haroidim imena b'shabbos, chayiv chatas. If somebody takes honey out of a beehive on Shabbos, he's chayiv chatas. It's literally as if you would have cut grain from a field. You're a koitzer, you're a toilish. If somebody takes honey out of a beehive, he's chayiv chatas. Why? This is all the same yisoid. Rabbi Eliezer holds that a kiveres devoirim, a beehive, is treated in halacha as if it's karka. The chachamim argue. They say ain kois from a prusbel. They not get karka. Umikabelas tumim kaverim. The mishav is pot. I'm Rabbi Lez. My time with Rabbi Lez was Shem. Rabbi Lez. The chesed is not from a pasuk. It says by Yonason ben Shaul, who he had a staff. Vayit palois beyaris advash, and he stuck it. He was matbil the staff into a yaris vash. A yar is a forest. Vash is honey. What does a forest have to do with honey? Elalei melacha to tell me the super duper chiddush. My yar tells me Shabbos chayv chatos. Just like a forest, if somebody rips something out of a forest on Shabbos, he's chayv chatos. After vash, so too honey. Right? Somebody takes honey out of a beehive on Shabbos, he's going to be chayv chatos. Wow. So Rabbi Eliezer holds this unbelievable chiddush that a beehive, honey is treated as karka, b'chubala karka, in chaps and afgamina, in hayakoina beehive, kais from la prusbol, it's not mekabel tumma, harayim b'shav is chayiv. Either way, so what is Rava saying? Zog Rava, this brisa that says that a dvash b'kiveris is not mekabel tumma, Rav Kahana held was going coin to Rabbi Eliezer. It's karka, it's b'chubala karka is never mekabel tumma. Savada, it's not a noichol, it's not a mashka. It's because we're going coin to Rabbi Eliezer. But according to the chachamim that hold, that
A beehive is not karka, it's metautlin, they don't hold it as chiddish, and dvash is thus not mechuber lekarka. If dvash is not mechuber lekarka, it's an oichel. The bees eat it, who cares that the bees eat it? At the end of the day, there's no reason in the world that it shouldn't be considered oichel. At the end of the day, it's honey. Honey is oichel, and it should be mekabel, tumas oichlin. So in other words, we have two terutz into this kash. Rav Kahana said, the honey in the honeycomb in the beehive is oichel, it's mekabel tumah. The Gemara said, it's kefakert from a braisa. The braisa says, mefurish, the honey in the honeycomb in the beehive is not oichel, it's not mekabel tumah. Two terutzim. The first teretz the Gemara gave, Abaye's teretz was, the Mishnah was, that braisa is talking about the two chalois that our Mishnah was talking about, that were left over, designated specifically for the bees, those honeycombs, the bee inside of those honeycombs is talking about mekabel tumah. If Kana was talking about regular honeycomb, not those two chalas, over there, Avada would be mekabel tumah. Rav's teretz was that the brice is going according to Rabbi Eliezer. That's how Rav Kana understood the brice. Thus, Rav Kana wasn't contradicting a brice. Zok the Gemara, meis mitvash, hazam mikivartoi. Brice says, if you had a beehive, honey was zavas, it's flowing from this beehive. It's not treated as oichel, it's not treated as mashke. Bishlam according to Abaye that said that the original brice that the Gemara brought, that vashpiki veris, was talking about the two chaloi. So this brice is behemshach. It's not oichel because the two chalas. It's not oichel if it's in the kiveris. It's also not oichel if it's zav from the kiveris. It's not oichel. Elo the Rava Kasha, but according to Rava, the only reason the Braisa held that the Dvash B'Kiveres wasn't Oichel was because we're going to Rabbi Eliezer. It's Mechubal L'Karka, and anything that's Mechubal L'Karka is not Mekabel Tumas Oichlet. But now it's not Mechubal L'Karka anymore. Now it's Zav. So being that it's Zav, why shouldn't it be Oichel now? So L'Chura, this next Braisa, maybe it's part of the same Braisa, but this last Braisa should be a Raya Tabaya, not like Rava. Zok the Gemara, Amar Rav Zvid said, you could always make an akimta that it's talking about going to Zavah Gabi Kli Mas. It was Zavah on a Kli Mas. Rav Acher by Yaakov, Amar going to Zavah Gabi Kaskas, on top of splinters of wood. The point is, it flowed to a place in a way where it was never Chashuv. I mean that it was never Chashuv. It's not considered ever Oichel. Meaning, it's not Oichel when it's in the Kiveres, because it's considered mechubal karka with regards to Tumas Oichlin. In order for it to now become Oichel to the extent that it would be mekabel Tumas Oichlin, it would have to be in a state of Oichel. It never was, because the second it left the kiveres, it was naturally in a state where it was on a klimaos, in a way where it would never be eaten. It's for that reason it never became into a matziv where it's roi lachila, thus it's never metama tumas. The minute it became shayach to be makabu tumas oichlin, it wasn't roi lachila. Mesri, I'll ask you a kasha from another braisa. Vashbiki vartoi, if somebody has a beehive and there's honey inside it, it's not oichel, it's not mashka. Chishav alav lachila, let's say you thought that it should be an oichel, metama tumas oichlin, lamashkin, if you had a mind it should be a mashkin, metama tumas mashkin, feiti gemara. So you see in this braisa, a new wrinkle to these halachas, that even though dvash bekiveres is not an oichel, it's not a mashka, it's only if you didn't think that it should be an oichel and a mashka. But if you have this conscious thought, I want it to be an oichel, I want it to be a mashka, then it becomes an oichel and a mashka. Freita Gemara, Bishlam, according to Abaye, Nicha. Abaye holds that we're talking about the two chalos. The two chalos are not oichel and mashka. But if you think that it should be oichel and mashka, why can't it be oichel and mashka? El Rava Kasha. But according to Rava, Chishev, that dvash in a beehive should be oichel is the same as thinking that wheat that's attached to the ground should be oichel and that it should be mekabel tumah. It can't be. Anything that's mechubal karka is not mekabel tumas oichlin. So you could think it from today until tomorrow, but it's still not going to be mekabel tumah because at the end of the day, it's not an oichel. So freik the gemara, just mechubar. So what is thinking about it help? According to Abaye, I get it. It makes it from being not an oichel into being an oichel. But according to Rava, how does that help? Amalach Rava. So you're right. Rava is going to be so bothered with this kasha that Rava is going to have to edit the brisa. Teretz hachi. Chishev olav l'achila. What the brisa said was, if you had a mind to eat it, einoi metama tumas oichlin. Not metama tumas oichlin. Einoi metama tumas oichlin. L'mashkin, einoi metama tumas mashkin. Mashkin will not work, says the Gemara. The sugya began with a statement for Rav Kahana. What was Rav Kahana's statement again? Let's recap. Rav Kahana's statement was that the honey in a honeycomb in a beehive is considered oichel. It's metama tumas Eichel. The Gemara's kasha was from a brisa, a furish a brisa. The brisa says the honey and a honeycomb is not an eichel, it's not a mashka. Thus, it's not a kabbal tumas eichel, it's not a kabbal tumas mashka. And the Gemara said two terutz and how you can reconcile Rav Kahana and Amoira with a brisa. Rav Kahana's not allowed to argue with a brisa. Abaye said the brisa is talking about the two chalois that were left in the honeycomb through the winter to make sure that the bees would stay there so that when the summertime came, the bees will be there to be able to produce honey. Those two chalis were only eaten by bees. It's not considered oichel. It's not mekabel tumas oichlin. All other honey, avada, is oichel. It's mekabel tumas oichlin. Rava said a different teretz. Rava said there's no chilek in halacha between the two chalis and all the other chalis. But rather, Rav Kahana was stating the halacha. There's a brisa connected to Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana held that brisa was going according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that a beehive is treated as karka, not only in the halachas of Tumas Eichel, but in all halachas, with regards to how you clean a beehive, with regards to kosef aleha pruzbol, even with regards to haroi de b'men of a Shabbos chayv chatos, honey is always considered mechubal karka. It's for that reason that it's not mekabel tuma, because mechubal karka is not mekabel tuma. The Gemara brought a few brises, was miyash of the brises, according to Abaye, according to Rava, but we conclude with our final brise, and that is Tanya Kavasi Rav Kahana. Dvash b'ki vartoi, metame tumas oichlin, sheloi b'machshava. If somebody has honey in a beehive, it is metame tumas oichlin, even without thinking that it should be oichel, sheloi b'machshava, which is a Tanya Kavasi Rav Kahana. Now, naturally, had the Gemara had this brisa in the beginning of the sugya, we could have never asked the Kasha Mesveh, because Rav Kahana himself can't argue with a brisa, but here we have a Tanya Kavosei, the Rav Kahana. He has a Tanya de Mesayele. But either way, we miyashiv the brisa betuv tam. Zok the Gemara Vaita. The last halach of the Mishnah was, Zaysim, if somebody sells olives, or the wood of his olive tree, can't, the buyer doesn't get all the wood. Menich shtei grupiyos. The buyer has to leave over two branches for the sell. Tanu Rabbanon, halakech, if somebody buys a tree from his friend, lokutz, to cut, so he's buying the lumber, magbiya minakarka tefach, v'koitzitz. So he can't uproot the entire tree, but he has to leave a stump. How big? A tefach, and he can cut beyond the tefach. B'sulas ha-shikma, if the tree that he's buying is a virgin sycamore tree, Gimel Tfachim, he has to leave a stump that's three Tfachim. Sadana Shikma, if it's a sycamore tree that's been cut before, so the virgin sycamore tree would mean it hasn't been cut before. The Sadana Shikma is where it has been cut before, you have to leave a stump of base Tfachim. Bekonamu Bekfanim, what if it's reeds or vines? Menapkak Ulamaila, then it's from the knot, not exactly sure what that is. Ulamaila, that's how much you have to leave. Betkolamu Be'arozim, if it was a dekel, a palm tree, or a cedar tree, chayfu misharish. There, the buyer is allowed to uproot it. He can rip the entire tree out of the ground. Why? Lefisha ain't gizan machlev. Because the whole yisoid of why you're leaving over a stump, you're leaving over the base of the tree, is because this person, again, didn't sell the whole tree. He sold the wood of the tree, which is mashma. He wants to keep the tree. If you're going to rip the tree out of the ground, it's never going to grow back. So you have to leave enough to allow it to grow. And that's what the Braisa was saying. A regular Elon, it's a tefach. Besulas HaShikma, you have to leave three tefachim. Asadan HaShikma, two tefachim. Konim and Kfanim, from the Pekak. The Kolim and Arozim, says the Braisa, you could rip it out. If you could bring the excavation crew, Lafisha and Gizam, because it anyways doesn't grow back. I mean that it anyways doesn't grow back. The whole point of leaving the stump doesn't really have an effect. Therefore, rip it all out. Frek the Gemara. Psulas Hashikim and Gimel Tfachim. Is that true? In order to keep a Psulas Hashikim intact, you'd have to leave three Tfachim. Otherwise, if you cut below three Tfachim, it's not going to grow back. That's where the Lekech, who gets the wood, has to make sure three Tfachim remain to the Meicher. Very many. I'll ask you a kasha from a Braisa. Hey, Koitzitzim, Besulas Hashikim and Beshvirs. The loch is, you're not allowed to cut Besulas Hashikim on Shvirs. Meshi Avoida. Shmita, you know, I'll do avoda. Yehuda says kedarka. It's only if you cut it kedarka, it's awesome. But there are ways to do it. Number one, magbia yud tfachim v'kaitzitz. If you want, you can leave 10 tfachim cut on top of that. That's okay. Or you can literally go down to the ground and cut it from the ground. Says the Gemara. Me'im ha'aretz with the kashi. It's mashma that only if you cut from the ground, it's okay. And the svara behind it is, because if you cut all the way from the ground, it's not going to grow back. So it comes that you're harming it. And being that you're harming it, that kind of avoda maybe is not asur on Shemitah. You know what kind of avoda you can't do on Shemitah? Well, you're benefiting it. But when you're going to destroy the tree, then it's okay. Ha'idach ma'ilila. But if it's going to be somewhat above the ground, if you leave even a tefach, maybe even a koshu, a half a tefach, but the point is less than three tefachim, that in itself would already be good. So what's the kasha? Why, if somebody buys besulas hashikma, does he have to leave three tefachim? Because the assumption is that if you cut below three tefachim, you're ruining it. And you're ruining it, the Meicher never wanted it to be ruined. Had he wanted it to be ruined, he would have just sold it. He wants to keep it. He wants it to regenerate and grow back at some point. Thus, you have to leave three tefachim, because anything below three tefachim, you're ruining it. If anything below three tefachim, you're ruining it, then on Shemitah, where Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as you cut it in a way where you're ruining it, it's okay. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you have to go all the way down to the ground? As long as it's within three tefachim, you're ruining it. How do I know within three tefachim, you're ruining it? Because when you buy it, you can't cut below three tefachim, because below three tefachim, you're ruining it for the seller. Amar Abaya, Abaya reconciled it rather simply. He said, Gimel tefachim, mailila. If you leave three tefachim, you're for sure not going to ruin it. It's good. The tree will regenerate very nicely. Mi'im aretz, if you go down to the ground, vadekashila, you're for sure ruining it. Mikan ve'elach, anywhere between the ground and three tefachim, lo makshe kashila, it's not bad. V'laviluyim mailila, but it's also not so good. So gabi shvias with regards to shmita of dinamida devadi kashila. There, we say the only time it's mutter to do the avoida is if you do it in a way where you're for sure ruining it. So, for sure ruining it would mean you have to go down to the ground. But as it relates to Valavilui Mailila, Gabi Mekachumemkar, but as it relates to Mekachumemkar, the only time you can take the wood is if you leave it in a really beneficial way for the seller, of Dina Midi de Vadi Mailila, and Vadi Mailila would mean you leave at the very least three tefachim. So if you leave three tefachim, it's really good. It's what the Gemara calls Vade Mailila. If you cut it down to the ground, it's for sure bad. It's what the Gemara calls Vade Kashila. So Shemitah, it's only going to be mutter if you do it in the way that's Vade Kashila. Mekachumemkar, you want to do it in a way that's going to be Vadai Mailila. Says the Gemara, but kolam uberaz and chayvim mashash. The Brisa said that if you buy a palm tree or a cedar tree, you could rip it out of the ground. The fish gives a machlev, because anyways doesn't regenerate. So what's the point in leaving the stump? Freit the Gemara. Ve'erez and gives a machlev. Is that true that the cedar tree doesn't grow back? Vadorish shabbi chiyah bar lulaini. My dechsa what's from the pasuk that says tzadik hatama yifroch ke'erez balvanon yiske im nemar tamar loma nemar erez im nemar erez loma nemar tamar. You ever notice a pasuk that we've said so many times? The tzadik is referred to. He's compared to two trees. We compare it to the tamar, and we compare him to the erez. So make up your mind. Is he compared to the tamar or the eres? Which one is it? Zok Gemar Ilo Nema Eres. Had David HaMelech only compared the tzaddik to the eres? Velo Nema Tamar and not said Tamar Yisei Mema Eres Ein Oisei Peres. Just like the tamar doesn't, eres doesn't produce peres. Av tzaddik Ein Oisei Peres. I would have thought maybe the tzaddik doesn't make peres. Kach Nema Tamar. That's why we said Tamar. The Nema Tamar Velo Nema Eres. Had it said Tamar not eres, you say I would have thought Ma Tamar Ein Gizei Machlev. Just like the tamar doesn't regenerate. Av tzaddik Ein Gizei Machlev. So the tzaddik doesn't regenerate. Kach Nema Eres. That's why it says eres. So we have a Gemara here. Wait. David HaMelech compares the tzaddik to the tamar and the eres. Why the tamar and the eres? Because had it said eres and not tamar, I would have thought that maybe the tzaddik doesn't procreate. Had it said, meaning it's not oisaperes, he can't share. Had it said tamar and had it not said eres, I would have thought that ein gizay machlef. So we said that the tzaddik's like the eres, that just like the eres regenerates, so too the tzaddik regenerates. But Al Kaponim, what do you see from this Dvar Agada? That a tzaddik, that an eres, a cedar tree regenerates. We said that if somebody buys an eres, he can rip it out. Why can he rip out? Because it anyways doesn't regenerate. And it impacts halacha dinei mekach memkar. Here you see mefurish that the tzaddik is compared to the eres dafka for the reason that the eres does regenerate. So does an eres regenerate or does the eres not regenerate? Says the Gemara, you have to say there's different types of arazim. Elahacha b'mayaskina b'shar mini arazim. We're talking about different types of eres trees. Not all ereses were created equally. Yud mini arazim. There's 10 types of arazim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, etein ban midbar eres shita v'hadas ve'et shemen asim barav v'berosh tidav v'sa'ashu yachtav. If you go through the pasuk over there is listing 7 types of cedar trees. Yeshaya Mem Aleph says the Gemara. What are these 7? Erez Arzam. Erez is what we know as the classic cedar tree. Shita Turnisa, a pine tree. Hadas Asa. That's the hadasim that we use in the Dal Minim. Et Shemen Afarsima. That's a balsam tree. Berosh Berosi, a boxwood tree. Tidar Shaga.
Usa'ashur shurvino is a shurvino tree. Hani zayin hana. Fek the Gemara, it's only seven. Because Rav Dimi Yomar, he sifo leim aloinim, almoinim, and almugim. What are they? Aloinim putni are elm trees. Almoinim baluti, oak trees. And almugim are kesisa, coral trees. Ikud Amri, some had the other three as aroinim, armoinim, and almugim. Aroinim ore, these are laurel trees. Armoinim duvi, these are chestnut trees. And almugim kesisa is this coral tree. Either way, the kasha was, does an erez regenerate, does an not regenerate? On the one hand, we have a brisa. The brisa says that ordinarily when you buy a tree, you have to make sure that you don't, again, now you didn't buy a tree, you buy the wood of a tree. You have to make sure that you leave a stump so that it should be able to regenerate. But not by a cedar tree, because the cedar tree anyways doesn't regenerate. And then we have tzadik hatoba yifroch ke'erez bavano yiske. The tzadik is like the erez that he regenerates. So does it regenerate the cedar tree? Does it not? The teretz is, there are asara mine arozim. There's 10 types of arozim. Some regenerate, some do not regenerate.